From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. Producer Lizzie Steele is here. She's making all the technology work. She is great. She's going to answer your phone calls to get on board. If you missed the first hour, you missed Dana Venrick's advice on fertilizing, which was very in-depth, and it's a really great way to start off your fall garden by getting the fertilization. You can also, too, listen to the podcast 24/7 on iHeartRadio anytime you want to hear Better Lawns and Gardens.
Go to betterlawns.com. It's usually the easiest way to find it.
Let's go to the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is thanks to my next guest, Katie Dubow. She's president of the Garden Media Group. And Katie and her dream team at Garden Media Group have identified Kasumi as 2026 color of the year. Kasumi, and that's spelled K-U-S-U-M-I, Kasumi. Kasumi colors are a muted, gentle palette. It's characterized by reduced saturation, often resembling faded pastels, and have gained popularity in various design fields in Asia. So the characteristics are a muted palette. Kasumi colors are known for their soft and subtle tones, which are achieved by lowering the saturation of the original colors. This results in a calm and refined appearance that is visually appealing and easy on the eyes. Also, too, another characteristic is faded pastels. These colors often resemble faded pastels, making them suitable for a variety of applications, from fashioning to gardening to interior design. In gardening, Kasumi colors represent a modern aesthetic that, again, emphasizes subtlety and elegance, making them a favorite choice in the garden. The pale, dusty color is a soft blush kissed by ash, the color ash, quietly romantic yet distinctly grown up. It's not millennial pink. Paired with earthy tones, lush foliage, and textures like weather wood or vintage pottery, it transforms gardens and interiors into serene, sophisticated sanctuaries. Gardeners, you're going to be seeing Kasumi colors in 2026 in the nursery landscape plants and garden accessories. So the word of the day is Kasumi. K-U-S-U-M-I, Kasumi.
Nice, yes. Yeah, you showed me a picture of it. And I'm not a big pink person unless it's like neon or for breast cancer awareness, but I actually kind of like this color.
It's going to be very muted. Everybody's going to look good in it, but wait till you see the plants that are, that have these colors. They're just beautiful.
Yes.
And I love that. And so we have Katie coming up. She is going to be talking about her garden trends report. And I'm excited this year. Every year it's so new and different, and yet it's real. That's what I liked about it.
Yes.
And so you can actually see it happening in the world. And when gardening's happening in the world, the world's a better place.
Yes, and I love the suggestions that she has and how she kind of breaks it down for each kind of different category. I love this. I am so excited. I'm glad you brought it into me. Thank you, Teresa.
Oh, you're welcome. I loved it too. And so we'll be talking about that, and also your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
Save your calls for 8:30.
8:30, yes, because we have Katie coming up, and we want to make sure we have plenty of time for that, and that's important. This month, again, fall just started on Monday, but we're actually seeing a little bit going on, and we are starting to feel the cooler temperatures, and that is great. Flowers that you can be planting right now, we can be planting, let's see, I have it right here, there we go. Here we go. Flowers. African daisies, alyssum, angelonias, ageratums, begonias, and black-eyed Susan, blue days, and calendula, candy tuft. These are all flowers, perennials that will grow in annuals into the fall season and can take cooler temperatures. Celosia and chrysanthemums, cleomys and coleuses, lots of coleuses out there. Coleus has great fall colors of burgundy and different muted shades of red, just beautiful. Cornflowers and cosmos, dianthus and dusty miller, gaillardia and gazanias. Geraniums are coming out. You're seeing those for sale now. Gerbera, daisies, heliotrope, beautiful, fragrant heliotrope. It's a deep, dark, royal purple that has very fragrant flowers. Hollyhocks and impatience, larkspur and lobelias, nicotiana and pentas, petunias and salvias. Snapdragons and sunflowers can still be planted. You can still plant, 5 to 10 sunflowers each week up through probably the end of October, and they will do well all the way into December and January. Sweet peas and verbenas and zinnias. Zinnias love the fall weather, and I love all the colors of zinnias, and they're going to do just fine. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I have Katie coming up, Katie Dubow. She has a great announcement. I can't believe she doesn't look this old. 25 years, Garden Media Group has been doing the annual report. We're going to be talking about that, giving a lot of congratulations. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. I have known Katie Dubow for over 15 years, and she is an amazing woman. She is president of the Garden Media Group, a woman-owned and run public relations firm specializing in the home and garden industry. She and her mom, who used to be, she retired from Garden Media Group, but they've celebrated more than 30 years in business. Katie is the author of the annual Garden Trends Report. She travels the world scouting and presenting garden trends to audiences nationally and internationally. Her resume is long. She is a great host on guest host on QVC for Cottage Farms. She's been a judge at the Philadelphia Flower Show and an awarded member of the 2018 40 Under 40 from Greenhouse Product News and so much more. Katie's one of my favorite interviews each year when she comes to tell us the gardening trends for the next year. Welcome back, Katie. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Teresa. I am great. You have me grinning from ear to ear. It's so good to be here.
Well, I am so excited because I just love having you on. Your energy is contagious. I love it. Congratulations on 25 years of Garden Trends Annual Report.
Oh, thank you. I can hardly believe it. What started as just a simple question to my mom 25 years ago, what are you seeing for next year, has turned into this global forecast that I have to say, I'm proud to say that my mom was the first. But now there are so many people out there predicting trends for gardening, so it's one of my favorite things to put our report out there and then watch and see what other people are doing too.
I think that's amazing. So you and your wonderful staff at Garden Media Group, you research the global market. So tell us about your track record. How have you done over the 25 years?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we are lucky to have a really strong track record. In fact, one of the trade publications, Greenhouse Grower, just did a whole look back on, they did the research, and it was fun to see that we predicted the rise of native plants and meadows and pollinator gardening back in 2006. In 2010, we coined the term O2 for you in collaboration with Costa Farms, and we predicted the increase in houseplants. Of course, they were hot in the 70s, but everything makes a resurgence.
Sure, sure.
And then we spotted gardening for mental health, and these are all things that we predicted before they took over. But Teresa, not everything has been a home run. When I thought about that question, it was, looking back over 25 years, it's such a privilege to be able to see the groundwork that we have laid and helped the industry. However, I was looking back, 2009, we thought vertical gardening was going to really take over. You know, growing people, putting in trellises and really growing up and utilizing the sides of their homes and indoors. And that hasn't taken off as much as we predicted. I don't know what you think about that, but I'm really surprised that one hasn't taken off more.
I am too, because I really love espaliers. I love, you know, not a lot of people have a lot of space, and you can grow a lot when you go up vertically. So, I understand that. What theme do you see for 2026?
Well, our theme this year is called Lemonading, and it's one of the interesting things. Since the report came out earlier this month, people, I don't know what's going to resonate with people, and this has resonated so strongly because we all, I think, inherently know the concept of turning lemons into lemonade. It's something we've been taught since we were little.
We've been forced to, yes.
You know, whether it's through your lemonade stand that you thought you were going to sell 200 cups and you sold 5, but it's about turning challenges into opportunities and finding the sweetness in unexpected places. And that is what this coming year will be about for all of us. Yes, there are challenges out there. Yes, maybe our lives or the situation we are in didn't turn out exactly how we expected, but just like making that lemonade, we're using creativity and resilience to turn that into something joyful. And that's what the gardeners are going to be doing next year.
So how does that work in a garden?
Well, you're right. It's a little different in just your personal mentality versus how you do it in the garden. However, we are really the ultimate original resilient industry, right? Like,
right.
If you don't succeed, your product will die. You know, it's not as urgent as whether it's a pet parent or an actual parent, but there is some seriousness to be taken to whether the fact that you do fail and the product dies. However, I think it's really important that we all understand that's the part of the process. You and I could we would be counting for days if we started counting the number of plants that we've killed, right?
Oh, seriously. I mean, you go into any extension office, you're going to see dead plants in the offices because they're out helping everyone else. One of my favorite quotes is Tony Avent saying he doesn't consider a plant not hardy until he's killed it 3 times.
So. Exactly. So it's about being realistic to all the listeners out there. Like, yes, plants should be resilient, but you need to be resilient too. If you kill something, try again. Try again and try again. Those 3 times, use the mantra of Tony Avent and keep going at it with positivity, joy, and creativity. And that's what it's all about in the garden.
That is so true. So we're going to let everyone know how they can get your free Garden Trends report at the end. But recap the 7 trends that you see for 2026.
Sure. Well, Lord, we've got 7. So the thing that we love to do every year is start out really high level. So what are the things impacting the world on a global scale that, of course, impact gardening? And what we see here is the big change is purpose-driven gardening. People want to vote with their wallets on the products that they are putting into their yards, whether a portion of those proceeds go back to charity or the product you're actually using is good for the planet.
Right.
So that, you know, and of course all of gardening is, but really the native plant movement here, we're seeing a rise. The National Wildlife Federation is seeing almost as many certifications for your backyard habitat as they had during the pandemic.
That's
so
great.
People are, and it's not even, 2025 is not even over yet. So people really want to do something good with their shopping habits. Another one that I love that has been such a sleeper because it's not my personal interest is called Level Up, and it's about gaming. Did you know that half of the world are gamers, Teresa?
I was shocked. Half I was shocked when I read that. I'm going, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
And there's this new phase new fade that's going on, fad, that's called cozy gaming. And these are games like Stardew Valley or Harvest Moon. Some of your listeners might be knowing these. Or Roblox, Minecraft, Zelda. These are games where people are, their games are intended to reduce stress. And you walk through a garden and you plant seeds or you tend to your flowers. And it's cozy. And there are 18 to 39-year-olds are the prime demographic, and half of them are women.
Oh my
so
goodness.
What I love about this trend is that it's mainstream culture telling us they want to interact with plants. And it's just us saying, okay, we welcome you into the space. Try something. This little plant that you grew on your game, well, guess what? It's called basil, and you can grow it from a seed on your windowsill. So it's just about inviting people in to try something IRL, in real life.
All these, oh, that's great. So, and you also used a phrase at kidulting. Is that how you say
yes.
it? Kidulting. What is that?
I'm telling you, Chucky, well, there's a new, I just scooped it, but there's a new brand out there that has an adult-only version of their old famous arcade, and it's called Chuck, and it's from the Chuck E. Cheese maker. So they are launching Chucks all across the country because they're seeing this rise of people wanting play in their life. And it goes back to that lemonading. It is, you know, we really want to reintroduce play into our lives in a very meaningful way.
Excellent. What's the next one?
Well, we're looking at barkitecture, which is really not new. Pet parents and plant parents have gone together for years. In fact, 70% of people who garden also own a pet. That's a huge number. And
yes.
It's the caring nature, I think, of gardeners is that we love nature and we love caring for things. But not all of our garden brands are catering to this passion for both flora and fauna. And so what we're trying to help people understand is there are some people out there who have pets who are afraid to get a plant because they've heard this toxicity, you know, comment
yes.
over and over again. I had a call earlier this week with the ASPCA, and they are passionate about helping people understand that there are over 1,000 plants on their website, and that's just scratching the surface, that are safe for pets, indoors and out.
Yeah,
so this one is about designing a safe garden for both your four-legged friends and for you to be beautiful.
That's right. And what I loved was, and I thought about Lizzie with this, is that we're not only getting cats and dogs, we're getting other animals. And Lizzie has turkeys as pets. They come and sit in her lap.
Oh my gosh, I need a picture of that immediately.
Turkeys. I mean, they love her and they literally force her move her arm and with the claws, they want to sit
That's
in her lap and they're 60-pound turkeys, you know.
Well, this is exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing the term homesteading on Google Trends decline since the pandemic, and it's no wonder. Homesteading is hard.
It's very hard.
You can't do it all at home, right? But we are seeing people want to be a little bit more self-sufficient, and so maybe they have chickens. Turkeys is fabulous. Ducks, quail, goats. You know, you're just picking a little bit of this homesteading. Of course, raising your food and having a cut flower farm. So these are the kinds of things people are just touching on in this barkitecture trend. It was going to be a whole trend, but then we realized, you know, I think it fits under the umbrella of wanting to nurture and care for something that is, you know, one of our animal friends.
That is great. Now, you have other trends on there. How can people get your free report?
Well, thank you so much. The easiest way is to visit our website, gardenmediagroup.com/trends, where you can download the full report for free.
And it's amazing. I will tell you, I enjoyed it sincerely. I see it. It's reality. Katie, you've done it again. Another successful year. Thank you so much for coming on. Give your dream team a big, big, big hug from me.
I will, and I hope to see you in January.
We will. We'll see each other in January. Thank you so much, Katie DeBow, president of Garden Media Group. And you can get your free report at gardenmediagroup.com. Thank you, Katie.
You know, she's exactly the reason why I only took 4 shots of espresso instead of 6, because I knew she was coming on. And this woman energizes me so much on the phone. Like, I feel like I can go out and I can just, like, bite pieces of steel in half after talking with her. So
she's amazing. You're gonna have to send her pictures of your turkey. She will love that.
I will love that.
And we get to see her in January. She comes down for the Tropical Plant Expo. So the TPIE, Tropical Plant International Expo.
Okay.
Tropical Plant Industry Expo.
Be careful.
It's TPIE. Okay. And that's in January. I can't wait to see her then. And so that garden report is fun. It's great to read. It is free. Just put your email address in there and she doesn't spam you or do anything like that. But you can get that media report and you'll enjoy it, I think. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to call in, just call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. You're in the final half hour of Better Lawns and Gardens, and you can call Lizzie. She'll put you right through. Let's go to, I'm going to read Susan in Tallahassee's text message. She said, I would love to get a soil test and needed amendments from Dana at Quality Green Specialist when I'm in the area. Could you give directions for collecting soil? So here's what you do. Okay, so Susan, you, depending on what you would like the soil, where you want the soil tested, whether it's in a raised bed, it's turf, or it's in your landscape, you go to that area, collect soil samples by taking, you can take a big tablespoon and you go down about 3 inches, 3 to 4 inches, and you can put the soil into a baggie. All right. And this little baggie, you want to in an area. So if you want turf, you take about 8 different areas in that turf area and dig down and just put a tablespoon into the baggie. You can mix it all up. Mark on the bag that it's for turf. You do the same thing with your raised beds or in your vegetable garden, and just mark it so that you know what you want to grow there and that they can tell you what the nutrients are needed for those that particular type of gardening. Okay, so it's very easy to do. It's got to be dry, but you know, you can let it dry in a pan if you want to collect it in a pan and let it dry and then put it in a baggie. And then you can bring it down to Dana in DeLand and he will test it for you. Or if you're anywhere in the state of Florida, you can take it to your extension office and send it away for a soil analysis test. And they will ship it to the University of Florida's Soil Laboratory in Gainesville and you will get it. And there's other places around that you can get the soil test to as well. But I like the way the soil test comes out at the University of Florida. It's very easy to do. So that's a great question. Thank you so much, Susan. And thank you. That's a great question. All right. So Beverly in Tallahassee, too, this is interesting. She sent me an email and she said, Teresa, how do I get rid of iron plant? I chopped down a bed of it that measured 22 by 10 foot. Can I spray it with something so it is out of my life forever? Sorry to hear about your iron plant. The tall variety in a pasture can produce 14,000 seeds in one summer. So it is kind of considered invasive, even though it's not an exotic invasive. You have two solutions, Beverly, one quick and one that'll take a few seasons. Quick solution, spray with an herbicide like Brush Be Gone, let it die, then remove the dead plants. You can plant something else there so the weeds don't come back and keep it mowed. Solution that needs a little bit more patience, but works very well. In May, you want to mow it down with a bagger to collect flower heads and seeds. Don't compost, bag it and throw it away. Then a month later, mow it again, and then keep it at 6 to 8 inches, and it should be under control within two seasons, okay? Should reduce the population, and that should handle your problem, Beverly. Thank you so much. It's good to hear from you. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, and I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you so much.
I sent Lizzie 2 pictures.
Okay.
The first one is this big green plant that I have that I dug up from the backyard because the caterpillars just destroyed it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has red flowers on it.
Okay.
So, do you know what type of plant that might be?
I will tell you, Eileen, my phone is in the car. And so I don't, Lizzie sent it to me just now. But what I'm going to do is during the commercial break, I'm going to look at it and I'll be able to tell you. So, did you send more than one picture?
Yes.
Okay. And you just need plant IDs?
That died on me.
Okay.
And now all this green stuff is coming up, but it's hanging over the dandy pot. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, I will look at them during the break, and okay. I will let you know what they are. Now, do you want to get rid of them, or do you want to keep them?
One that's in the African violet pot, I don't care about.
Okay.
Green one that has beautiful red flowers on.
Okay.
That one I want to keep.
Okay, great.
Back in the ground.
Do you know what I have in my yard coming up right now that that native Florida poinsettia weed. It's just growing up everywhere. It has.
What is it?
It looks like poinsettias, and it's in the poinsettia family, and it's a Florida native, and it's I consider it a weed, and so it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's the leaves turn a little bit of reddish color. Lizzie, do you know what I'm talking about? That nope.
Really? You're asking me of all people? Come on. Well, definitely. Yeah. Eileen, listen, and Teresa will get back to you on air about that question.
I'll look at them during the break, Lizzie. Yep. All right. Thank you so much, Eileen. All right. Let's go to Dick in Polk City. Good morning, Dick. How can I help you?
I got a tomato question.
Okay.
I have a 55-gallon drum cut off about 2 foot tall with a false water bottom in it, and then we put pot and soil on the top half. We've had very good success out of it, give them to several people. But I've always been the one to buy the tomato plants. All we can find lately is these little short 1.5-2 foot tomato plants that grow cherry tomatoes. I used to get them that would grow 6 feet tall. One year it got taller than the roof. I had to cut it off because I couldn't reach it without a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a variety of small tomato plants that grow tall? We would have bowls of them. We'd have to give them away to the neighbors.
Well, so the cherry tomatoes don't get big, but there are ones that do get big, like Big Boy, and they can get tall too as well. You're wanting to look for indeterminate plants, and the indeterminate can get really, really tall and wide. Determinate plants usually have a set size, and they come and they only grow to a certain height, and then they stop. Okay, so you're looking for indeterminate that will grow taller than and tall and wide.
Independent,
right? Not independent. Indeterminate.
Independence.
No, indeterminate. Indeterminate. I-N-D-E. T-E-R-M-I-N-A-T-E. There. Indeterminate.
Okay.
Okay.
A typical man. I didn't write the name down. I had that same tag for several years, and I've lost that tag. But
oh, my goodness.
Like I said, like
I'll give you some
man,
more options. Let me look and see some varieties that grow really super tall. Okay. And you want them taller than your roof, huh?
Yeah. Well, before they did, like I said, I had to keep them cut. I've got a 6-7 foot fence out there, a real small chain link fence, like. And it grows, and it was above the fence.
Wow!
I had to cut it off.
Excellent.
We would have big cherry tomatoes, but big as grapes.
Okay, that's great. That's a certain type of cherry tomato. That's wonderful, and they grow during the summertime, so they have the opportunity to grow big. Thank you so much, Dick. I'll look it up, and I'll give you some choices in just a minute. Okay. If it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We had a call from Eileen, an avid listener. We love hearing from Eileen. And she had, Eileen, you said you sent two pictures. We only got one. And one of them with that bluish green flower is a shrimp plant. Okay. It's got greenish blue flowers on it. That's a shrimp plant. Let me, if you can resend the red one, that would be great. The tomatoes, you can do black cherry. Will get really tall, and that is a dwarf, or that's a cherry tomato. Russian Queen is a really tall one. And then also, too, a Lemon Boy will get to be 7 feet tall. So all of those are really good choices for tall tomatoes. And if you'd like to email me, you can go through betterlawns.com, send me an email, and I will send you more. Just to have them off the top of my head, though, is kind of tough. Let's go to Scott. In Palm Bay. Scott, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have a couple quick questions for you. I have the shell ginger. It's
yes.
The green and yellow. Mm-hmm. It's real tall. A lot of it is died back now. It's dead. The new stuff's coming up. Is it a good time to cut back all the dead junk?
Yes. Cut it down to the ground if you want to. Yes. And you've got 3 months for it to come back up again. That'll be great.
Thanks. How late can I feed the rest of the plants with the 666?
You can do it this month. That's fine. I mean, you can do it up through November. It's just that when we have new growth on a plant, so when you're fertilized, it's going to, push it to start new leaves. And if we get a frost or a freeze in, you know, late November, December, which we did last year, early December, and January, when they start to produce new leaves, they're going to be more susceptible to a freeze. They're not going to have time to harden off. So that's why we fertilize in October. That 3 months gives it time to grow and harden off.
Okay, thank you. I also have a red porter weed.
Yes.
Are they invasive like those tall blue ones?
No, the blue ones are native. But I would say they do reseed. So if you have three or four of them in your garden, you're going to probably have 5 to 10 of them. So, you know, if you don't want them to reseed as much, you go ahead and just cut the blooms off once they're finished blooming so the seeds don't get spread.
Okay, thank you. And I also, I apologize to Lizzie. I'm sorry I missed your first hour on fertilizer.
Oh, wonderful.
I got my car at 8 o'clock. Anyway, my quick question on that is, now that the ban is almost done, what type of fertilizer do you guys suggest to put on the yard?
Well, it just depends on what you're fertilizing. If it's turf, if I would get a soil test first from your local extension right there in Palm Bay, and it will tell you what to put down. Turf usually, though, is nitrogen and potassium, no phosphorus, like a 15-0-15. If you're doing fruits and vegetables, you're going to want to have the, you know, a balanced fertilizer with micronutrients in it. So I would get a soil test, Scott, and then it will tell you exactly what to put down for your turf, what to put down for your vegetables in your garden and your landscape.
Thank you so much, Miss. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Scott. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Gary in Palm Bay. Is he in Palm Bay, too? Wonderful. All right. How can I help you, Gary?
Yes, hi. I've got a miniature palm, the Robolini.
Yes.
The leaves from the fronds have all turned black and shriveled. Mm-hmm. I brought samples into a local nursery, and he said it's a virus, an airborne virus. If I were to cut off all of those fronds and start new, is there a spray or something that I could apply to that and keep that virus away?
I would just put down a fungicide. Go ahead and use a fungicide or neem oil. And let them start to grow out again.
Fungicide in the ground, and nothing that sprays.
No spray. You can get a fungicide by spray. So it's spray or granules. You know, you can do it as a systemic, but you can. I'm talking about a spray. So a fungicide. Okay. So you know your Daconil, your fungicide sprays. Look for the label. But I'd love to see a picture of what it looks like.
Well, I cut all the fronds off. I'm just going with what's coming out new.
Yeah.
And they look like they're green so far.
Okay, good, good. Make sure you're fertilizing your palm tree on a regular basis, because when it's not getting fertilized, palm trees are susceptible to a lot of disease and insects. You want to keep it healthy. Okay?
That may be the problem. I've got one more quick one.
Sure.
If I may. On that lawn fertilizer, to keep the weeds that were just nonstop this year, if I were to get a pre-emergent and put it down with the fertilizer, would that help for next spring to keep them down?
Yes, you can do that. I would put the pre-emergent down in January, February. So right now, you want to make sure that you're just bagging your clippings. Don't put the weed seeds back into the ground. So just don't mow it off. You want to, if you have an area that has weeds in it, you want to bag those clippings and not let the seeds go back down into the ground, so they'll come back next year. But go ahead and you can do an herbicide too as well. You just want to make sure, Gary, that when you kill the weeds, it's going to be bare spots. And if you don't resod or plug or put down new grass seed, this is last month for Bahia grass, to put seed down, then the weeds can come back very easily. So we have seasonal weeds. So one, identify your weed and make sure you're taking care of it at the right time of year. So if you've had weed seeds all summer, then in the springtime, there are going to be different weeds that are going to come up. Okay?
Yeah, I've noticed that. And I couldn't identify all of them. There are just so many different ones.
Then I would probably just use an herbicide right now and make sure that you're getting rid of the weeds for fall. What kind of grass do you have?
I think it's St. Augustine.
Okay, that's going to be important for you to identify it as St. Augustine, okay? Because it's a different turf herbicide than you would use on Bahia grass. So one, go ahead and take a sample of your grass and your weeds into the extension office. They can identify it for you, or you can send it to me by you know, email, and I can identify for you the grass and the weeds, and I can tell you what to use.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's going to be important to recognize it or identify it. Thank you, Gary. Lizzie, that was a quick rush right there.
That was good.
Yeah, so we want to let everyone, one, when you're using an herbicide, you've got to make sure you understand what your turf grass is, because if you use the wrong one, then your grass is going to die. It's going to kill your grass. It's going to recognize it as a weed. You want to make sure that it's atrazine for St. Augustine, and that's how I kind of remember it, zine and steen,
mm-hmm.
atrazine on St. Augustine. And then Bahia grass is 2,4-D, which kind of looks like a B, 2,4-D dicamba, which has the B in it, and that's what you put on Bahia grass.
And also, like with the sprays that you would use on bugs, I didn't realize till you mentioned it. Do they have a bug named after it? Or
yeah,
and I'm like, wow. So that makes sense what you just said about the St. Augustine, and it kind of rhymes. So
it does. It does. You have to identify what you want to get rid of, because if not, you're going to make a mistake. You may not get rid of it, or it just identifying it will tell you what season it is and when to get rid of it. And how to get rid of it. So our weeds are seasonal. We're going to see the same summer weeds coming up. That's why you put the pre-emergent down January, February. And then in the fall, you can put it down now. It's going to keep the winter seeds from coming up. So we do have different ones certain times of the year, and it's just important. Identification is important. You know, it's kind of like going to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, you go into the doctor and say, I have this virus, and he's going, okay, well, I'm just going to give you something to get rid of a virus, but it may not be the right medicine for the virus.
Right.
So I want to give a big thank you to Dana Venrick. If you missed the first hour, we talk about fertilizing. If you want to get your soil sample tested, which is very important for fertilizing correctly, you can go to 335 West Michigan Street in DeLand. That's Quality Green Specialist Nursery. And then big thank you and a hug to Katie Dubow, the dynamo at Garden Media Group, with her dream team. Get your free Garden Trends Report. It's a lot of fun to read, and you can download it free for 2026, the Garden Trends for 2026, at her website, which is gardenmediagroup.com, gardenmediagroup.com, and it's a lot of fun to read. And you'll recognize Lizzie in it, and you know, the color of the year. She's not so hot on the color of the year, but
I'm trying here. So,
Gamers, who knew that gamers were part of the Garden Trends,
and that's good, because you know we have that the next generation, like our grandkids and
yes.
stuff, and that's what they're obsessed with. So make sure you guys go to WFLA or make sure you guys go to betterlawns.com.
There you go.
You can get all that information and contact Teresa through there.
Thank you. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.